thanks so much. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. And our guest is Dr. John Duffy, making a triumphant return, or what I imagine will be a triumphant return to the show. How are you, John?
I'm great, and nice I'm hoping it's triumphant. It will I haven't be. Thought about that.
I have a feeling it will be.
Always is.
It always is. All right. There was a story last week that as soon as the story was coming out, I thought of you, and then a texter said, this is John Duffy territory. You need to ask John this question. So here was the story. It's a little boy, and he's playing in his grandmother's yard, and he wanders off, and he's gone for 3 days, 2.5 days.
Right.
And they finally find him, and it's a miracle, because the weather was horrible. It was rainy. It was wet. He was near this forest preserve with all kinds of sinkholes, and the kid could have fallen in a hole.
Yep.
No one expected the happy, happy outcome of they found him, and he's happy, and he's healthy.
Right. People expected something very, very
They thought that he was going to turn up dead. Oh, nobody
absolutely.
Wanted that.
Absolutely.
So the kid comes back, and they say, how did you survive? You're a little kid. I think he's 3 or 4 or something. How did you do this? And he said, well, a bear found me, and the bear took care of me, and a bear kept me warm. And my theory was that in the kid's mind, that's what happened, that a bear found him and took care of him.
Yeah.
But in reality, it did not. What happened?
Yeah, wait, so, how do you know in wait, reality it did not?
Can I just add one more wrinkle to this?
Yes.
This is Life of Pi.
Yes, it is.
Right, right.
Yes,
good
is.
Point, Steve. Yeah, so that,
right.
in a lot of ways, it's probably very similar in that it's also kind of like the Castaway movie where, you
Wilson.
Know, Wilson, right?
Yes.
So, you know, you create something that's going to help you and save you in your mind, right? And you can rely on this entity and it carries you through this traumatic time. And it probably didn't hurt the imagery that he was freezing, he was traumatized, he was scared.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mind, especially of children are amazing at kind of creating these imaginary friends that are going to
protect them,
be with them, you know, make them less lonely at times of stress. And undoubtedly, that's precisely what happened. And I agree with you. I think that child would pass a lie detector.
Oh, yeah.
That a bear helped
him. That a bear was there.
That's where Leah Brandschmidt and Oreo Lekas, my imaginary friends, came. Tell me those are not creative names.
Those are excellent names. Those are imaginary friends?
Yeah, Leah Brandschmidt and Oreo Lekas. And the reason I was late is they were my friend Carol's cousins, and we were hanging out at the library.
And did they bring you comfort to know that they were with
no, they,
you?
No, they were just an excuse because I was running late that day. But my mom believed me because, well, she didn't believe me, but she laughed at me because of those names. And what kid's going to lie and say they were at the library?
Right, right. Well, I work with a right. Good point. I work with a lot of kids who kind of have these entities and will revisit them even in their teenage years time to time. Yeah, honestly, you know. So this is not that unusual thing. I think he was in extraordinary circumstances.
Well, I thought so too. But the best part of the story for me was that there were two other kids over a long span of time. There was
one
a kid
in the 1800s.
Yeah. 1880 something, and then the other one was in the 50s, who told almost identical stories where they were missing for a strangely long amount of time. And in both of those cases, much like this kid, they go, no, a bear came and saw that I was alone and kept me warm and kept me safe.
But how do you know this didn't happen, you guys?
Because everybody involved, the kid's parents, the police, everybody, you know, when it comes to the part about the bear, they're like, wow, the important thing is,
yes,
is
the
that
child
he's happy.
Is safe and he's happy. And I think that in this case, the climate or the it was very unlikely that a bear would even be nearby.
Right.
I hope they find
less.
The bear just to prove all you naysayers wrong.
That would be amazing. I want to be here when the bear's here.
Right. All right. You wanted to talk about stressors and how they affect us. Please go for that. What's going on there?
So one thing I've noticed in my clientele, and not just kids, but parents and adults who live alone, is that the world is harsh out there, right? We're working, we're at school, we're trying to pay bills, and it's cold. And a lot of people say when they cross the threshold into their home, what they want is some kind of sanctuary. They want it to be relaxed and easy. But what too many people feel when they walk into their home is more stress. And so my press here is to think about the vibe you create. So there's this Marie Kondo thing.
Oh, I love her.
Right,
does
right.
Does it spark joy? I tried. I did some of it. I'm doing it a little slower, but it does. when things are cluttered in your house, it creates a lot more stress for you.
No doubt. And I think most of us are kind of unaware until we clear things out, like, wow, this feels way better. And then there's the feng shui idea of, you know, where do you place things? But there's also kind of this emotional tone that you create. So a lot of kids will tell me, like, I walk into the threshold of my house and I'm afraid my parents have looked at my grades and I'm going to get in trouble somehow. Yeah. Or, you know, so I'm going to escape to my room and put in my earbuds and I'm going to watch Parks and Recreation and just escape the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a sanctuary. It's more like, you know, I feel like I've got to escape.
Yeah.
Even this place that should be calm. In contrast, I've worked with some parents who recognize, yeah, this is a stressful time for my kids. So finals are this week. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, what treat do you want tonight? We're going to take 10-minute study breaks every hour, and we're going to have treats, or we're going to play a quick game or something like that to ease the tension, ease the vibe. And I think when we do that, when we attend to it, then kids will report to me, oh, yeah, life is way better at home.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think sometimes we bring so much home, and we want, especially parents, we want our kids to be successful so badly that we will find ourselves unwittingly, with the best of intentions, laying into them, telling them, you know, you're not doing good enough, or you've got to get to homework, put Fortnite down, put the phone down, and let's go. And that's fine to an extent, but at some point, you have this tipping point of stress.
Yes.
And you want to stay on the right side of the tipping point.
And everybody's stress in any family structure, everybody's stress is a different type of stress.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. If you think about it, some people have work-related stress.
Yeah.
Some people are, if you're in charge of the house, there's an awful lot of stress now in just running a home, especially if there are kids involved, right? There's travel teams and there's bills to pay and there's groceries and, you know, people have to get certain places. It's busy. Life is frenetic. And we need, in any given day, I think we need some degree of calm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a proponent of, people always say, you should leave your stress, like your work stress or your school stress, leave it at the office or leave it at school. Once you come home, that should be a stress-free zone. Do you believe in that or not?
I don't know if you can do that entirely.
Yeah.
But I like the ritual of it. I used to have a long commute from work to home.
Yeah.
And I would take that commute and I would listen to some music and I would decompress. And by the time I walked in the door, I was very relaxed. Now I have a 3-minute walk, as Wendy, you know.
Oh. I almost hit him the other day.
Right.
Oh.
And so sometimes I walk in the door, and this part of this comes from the way our house works, is once in a while, my wife Julie and I will recognize things are more tense than they need to be here. We really don't have anything wrong. Maybe
right.
We can bring the stress level down, change the vibe a little bit.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of willfully trying to exert that.
Too bad there's not something on your thermostat where you could adjust the heat and the stress
great.
Level
That'd
at the same
hook
time.
Hook that up to your Nest.
Brilliant.
Right. That would be excellent. Dr. John Duffy is here. If you have any questions or comments, reach us at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Regular guest Dr. John Duffy is here. You can listen to his podcast called Better with his wife Julie Duffy. You can read the available parents, drjohnduffy.com. You're doing a new podcast now with Heidi Stevens from the Chicago Tribune.
I just refuse to stop talking.
She's got great articles about being a parent.
She really does. She really does. And kind of these slice of life articles. I always find Heidi's column to be refreshing in light of every other headline. It's kind of like this little beacon of good news in the midst of all this bad news.
Oh, so, congratulations.
Yeah, I'm excited to be doing
that.
Sure. Yeah,
that's great. Is a little bit of stress in your life or something to worry about a horrible thing? Don't we kind of need something to keep us going a little bit? Everything can't be perfect.
Absolutely. You know, there's something called the Yerkes-Dodson rule, which I always got a kick out of the fact.
Oh, Yerkes.
Yerkes. I always got a kick out of the fact that two guys came up with this, but effectively it says, unless, if you don't have any stress, you're going to be a couch potato. You're
right.
Not going to get much done.
Yeah.
If you have too much stress, you're in distress and you're not going to get much done, or you're not going to be very effective. So there's this, at the top of the bell curve is this something called eustress or flow. There's a guy down at University of Chicago, Dr. Csikszentmihalyi, I think is the way you say
Good
his name.
Golly.
I know, right? That came up with this idea based on a game where Michael Jordan made six six three-point shots yeah. in a row yeah. from the same spot. And you'll remember this moment. He turns around and he shrugs the camera like, I don't know why this is working.
Happened. Yeah.
And the argument is, oh, because he's got just the right amount of stress to be in the zone, in the flow. And so, yes, you need a certain level of stress. If he had no stress in that moment, those would have been bricks.
Right, yeah. right. I'll go on.
No, there was just this article. I was telling you about this off the air 2 days ago from The Guardian. The truth about anxiety. Without it, we wouldn't have hope. Without any, with no anxiety, if everything was copacetic, you're right. You wouldn't get off the couch. You wouldn't do anything. You wouldn't challenge yourself.
Exactly. So we all need some degree of anxiety. And so the idea, anxiety has such a terrible name in our culture because it feels so diagnostic. But if you think about it as just enough stress to perform well, we need that kick. We need that little bit of boost. That's where adrenaline comes from. That's where our optimal performance comes from, is having some degree of anxiety.
Right.
And so the key for most of us is not to overstress ourselves so that we affect our performance in a negative way.
Isn't everybody's capacity just a little bit different too?
Definitely.
It would have to be.
Oh, absolutely.
What you can handle and what you can't.
What you're interested in taking on and what you're not. The benchmark I usually use is if something is presented to you and you're afraid of it and you decide to opt out because you're afraid, that's just an anxious reaction that probably isn't very healthy. Right. If you decide, I'm nervous, but I'm going to try this anyway, then you're in the zone. Then you're in a place where you're probably at least laying the groundwork to operate functionally and properly.
Right.
I'm laughing because there was one day I came in and something like totally frustrating happened on the way to work, and you gave me like that dad look like, Wendy, every morning you come in like this. I do. I almost need to feed off that, you know?
Right. Yeah, and I think some of us are surprised that every day brings some anxiety, and we lament that, but we underestimate our degree of tenacity and grit that we can overcome that, because most things that we're presented with, we can manage, we can overcome, you know? And sometimes our mind tricks us into thinking we can't, thinking like, ooh,
this is the end.
Yeah, I feel this little pang of anxiety, so I'm going to have to opt out of this thing, you know? Like, and that is the last thing you want to do. When you feel that little bit of anxiety, it might be a cue like, this might be I want to take a step toward this, not away.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Can we talk to Vicky? Vicky's been on hold with something to add to this. Vicky, how are you? It's Dr. John Duffy and us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I taught middle school for 25 years, and so with all those raging hormones all day, and
wow,
so
you survived.
at the end of the day, I would shut my door and I would actually sweep my room, wipe my boards. I'd be like 15, 20 minutes in total quiet. And my colleagues would ask me, why do you do that when you have custodians? And I said, it was my time to decompress before getting into the car and then having to come home and face my own children.
Oh, that's brilliant, Vicky. And so, did it work? Did you feel calmer? Was that ritual like useful to you?
I did. And you know, the part about it that was so amazing, too, is that the custodians were so happy they could skip my room that when I needed them for a really big job, they never hesitated.
Well, perfect. It seems to see now you've, Vicky, figured out a way to make that work for you. Good job.
Well, and you need to understand, I used to always tell my parents that the reason their children did not get put out of my room was that if they had had testing and drugs when I was in middle school, I would have been certified ADHD and heavily medicated. Hmm. So
you're a good teacher.
I hoped I was. I've been retired for 4 years now and realized how many things I didn't do during the time that I was a teacher.
Do you miss the kids?
Oh, I miss the children. Oh, yes, I do. I don't miss a lot of the other stuff that went with it, like parents and administrators, but I miss the kids.
Well, thank you very much. Enjoy your retirement. Speaking of students, I saw you listening earlier when we were talking about we need hope and things look very bleak when that caller called and was despondent about racism and The kids today are so much different. Don't you think we have hope for the future?
Yes. I was up applauding you as well. Seriously,
oh, I got a standing ovation for you.
Oh, how about that?
Look at that.
Because I totally agree. I think sometimes we in our generation, we miss this idea because our kids can be frustrating at times. And sometimes we hear the worst of what they do. But I have the luxury of talking to a lot of kids a lot of the time. And when you get them, even at their worst moments, you realize, oh, yeah, these are smart, thoughtful, kind people at their core. And there is an awful lot of hope coming down the pike with this next generation. You know, so I feel exactly like you do. I do not feel despondent about that.
Along those same lines, since racism has been in the news so much the last couple of days or weeks, it's learned behavior, isn't it? That's not innate behavior to be racist, is it? That's something that's learned through whatever means you're learning things.
Absolutely. 100% learned behavior. And this is like kind of a clarion call to parents, right? Like, you know, if we depict racism, even in a lighthearted fashion, you know, I will admit, like, this happened in my house growing up, and I was kind of oblivious to it. In retrospect, I'm kind of appalled at what happened in my home.
Yeah.
But now, the beauty of kids today is if a parent does something or says something racist, the child will call that parent out.
Right.
You know, 99% of the time, kids will not tolerate racism, sexism, anything that's anti-LGBTQ, anything that's not kind. Kids are not going to tolerate that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, bullying is on a downswing, even though you hear a lot about online bullying, and that does happen. There's a little bit of group think around that, but by and large, that's on a downswing. That happens less than it did, you know, 2 decades ago.
So that's
margin. Progress.
Good. We were hoping there was some progress.
Yeah.
We found some.
I'm hopeful. Yeah. I have miles and miles and miles and miles of hope.
How about that?
Wow.
That's from a musical Wendy's working on.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Isn't that Jiminy Cricket? Gotta have hope, miles and miles and miles of hope, or what? Maybe it's not hope.
I don't think it's Jiminy Cricket. It's in a musical.
No. It's definitely. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. I don't picture a cricket singing.
You gotta have heart.
What?
It's you gotta have heart. Not you gotta have hope.
Well, I changed it.
Oh, all right.
Right. It's a new musical.
Try suing
new
Wendy now. She changed the lyric. Cut it out.
Hey, Weird Al did it.
Right.
I can do it too.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming up. How can people reach you?
Okay. So,
and are you on the air here soon or just your podcast for now?
I think I will be on the air with Bella Gandhi sometime soon in the next week or two. And hopefully I'm back with you guys in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find everything about me and where I'm going to be at drjohnduffy.com.
Perfect. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. Dr. John Duffy, everybody.